First Samuel chapter 14. Oh, Jonathan, he is a good guy. You know, Jonathan was a man. I thought about this morning. This just dawned on me. But this passage of scripture, what we're going to talk about, David was probably a little boy. David was probably a little boy when this passage took place. And I wonder, you know, how we talk about our national heroes and great things that have been done and all this. I think this probably happened back here too. This story probably had been going around the countryside, and a young boy out there watching his sheep had heard this story about a great man named Jonathan, who turned out to be his best friend eventually. But I think that when David said, "Is there not a cause?" and he had a sling and he picked up five stones, knowing there are five giants in front of him, do you think that he did not think, you know, God is the same God yesterday, today, and forever, and I remember what he did for Jonathan. Why would he not do it for me now? And he picked up those five stones, and we know the story, went and killed Goliath. But I think that he heard some stories about Jonathan. Jonathan was a great man. He's a godly man. He's loyal to his king, who, even though his king was not a godly man, he was loyal to him. He is loyal to his best friends. That's a good guy to have. Friends that are loyal and you can trust. But not only that, but he's selfless. He's brave. All those things that you'd like in a guy. Amen. Self-sacrificing. He's not only next in line to be king, but he submitted to God and helped his rival take his place. Now that's trusting God. When you can say, "God, you make me less so that you can raise somebody else up," that means you trust God. That means you're submitting to God. Here's the sad thing about Jonathan. The saddest part about this, I'm going to tell you the future part of the book. But he suffered for the sins of his father. Not only did he suffer for the sins of his father, but he died for the sins of his father. I wonder how many of us today can say, not just here, but all over, how many kids are suffering for our sins and our leadership and our homes and in our country? How our country didn't get here overnight. It got here by the lack of leadership and the lack of good fathers and homes and teaching their young people. And so here's Jonathan. He's going to die a young death. And I say young, I don't know how old he was when he died, but he probably died in his 40s or younger due to his father's rebellion. That's a sad picture. A great man. I mean, a man that God must have been impressed with, this man. God had to be impressed with the faith of Jonathan, the submission of Jonathan. God had to say, "Man, that's a guy. I could sure use a guy like that in this country. I could sure use a guy like that in this church. Or I could sure use a guy like that." And God still saw fit to kill him. I mean, he's a good man. A man who led men like David to do great things. But God saw fit to kill him because of the sins of his father. Now, that's not the message this morning, but in this passage of scripture, Jonathan, we're going to see what a godly man he is. And when men like Jonathan love and fear God, they engage in duties. They engage in things that God's called them to do, regardless of what the world thinks of them. When godly men and women say, "Listen, I know this is God's will in my life because the Bible says so, and that solves it, so it is the way it is." And whether Susie Joe or Bobby Joe down the road like it or not, that's what the Bible says. That's what I'm supposed to do, and that's what I'm going to do. Now, that is a man who fears God. Now, they engage in duties that they expect. That, listen, if I obey God and I obey his call and I obey his word, I'm going to have success. Not pretty basic, isn't it? I mean, You believe God's word? Yes. Then you believe God cannot lie? Yes. Then if I obey what God said, and God said he would bless that obedience, then it's pretty simple. I expect to be successful following his word. Amen? That's just kind of a succession there. When we obey God's word, we can expect to be successful. I don't mean I'm obeying God so I can win the lottery. No, as unto the Lord. We can expect some things. We can expect success in our home life. And yes, God does bless us bountifully in our physical life. I mean, literally. I'm nobody here starving to death, are they? If they are, we'll feed you in a minute. We're living in a nation where we got all of us got shoes on, where we got air conditioning, we got tummies full. You know how many walk to church? Oh, I don't know where Jason lives. Maybe you walk, but probably drove. I mean, we live in a nation that's not. I mean, we're pretty blessed. Amen. Why do you think we're blessed? Because we started off as pagans? No, we started off as godly men, godly women, Christians, and we expected that God said it, that settles it, let's do it. And I tell you, if one thing we can be assured of this morning, that God does not send you into a hopeless situation. You say, well, you don't know what I'm going through. I don't need to know what you're going through. I know if you're in a hopeless situation, God didn't send you there. You are out of God's will. They say, man, that's pretty harsh. But it's just obvious. God promises us obedience brings success. And I don't mean financially. I mean happiness and this life, joy. Now, I don't want happiness, by the way. Happiness is about 5 minutes long. Happiness is until you make me mad. Joy, you can't take away. Joy lasts forever. Joy is of the Lord. Joy is in my eternal life. Happiness is, you know, because y'all showed up today. But next Sunday, if you don't all show up, then I'm not happy anymore. But I still got joy of the Lord. I'm just saying joy is overwhelming. Amen? All right. We've got to have to start reading this chapter. We'll be here a while. If you are overwhelmed, I do want you to think about this morning. If you are overwhelmed, God is not in that. If you are miserable this morning, God is not in that. That is not God's will for your life. God's will for your life is success, happiness, and joy of the Lord. So let's read about this guy, this hero of the faith. In chapter 13, we don't want to go all the way back there and read all the way through that, but you remember Jonathan had risen up with a small band. His dad took 2,000. He took 1,000. He defeated the garrison of the Philistines. In other words, a fort. He went and conquered them. And as soon as Saul found out about it, he sent word throughout all of Israel. Saul has defeated the garrison of the enemy. But Saul, you were sitting on your hind parts over here. Jonathan's going, but Jonathan's okay with that. He submitted to his father. It's okay. But because they had defeated this small garrison, the Philistines raised an enormous army. An enormous army, far bigger than 3,000. And we're going to see what God's man, who has faith in God's promises, does during that. Now, does Hebrews not say, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee? Doesn't it say that? Still says that in the Bible. Still means that, right? I will never forsake thee. That means God will never turn his back and walk away from you, but we will turn our backs and walk away from him. I've done it. I know I have, and I know I'm not the only one here who's probably done that. But here, God's man has faith in God's promises. And he's going to, last week I preached on the fleece of Gideon. And let's lay out the fleece, Lord, and say, Lord, if you're in this, if you're in Harvest Baptist Church, if you want Harvest Baptist Church to go forward and succeed and survive, Lord, do something. How many of you were shocked when he answered the prayer in 5 minutes? I was. You know what the problem is? We didn't ask God for enough. We limited God. We said, God, just if you're in this, let us see one couple And within 30 minutes, a couple walked in off the street, and we were all going, God answered his prayer. And he kept his promise. Now listen, well, we're talking more about who they were. And I know they were traveling through, but God still answered. We've just got to be more specific. Lord, send 10 families. God answered prayer. But here we're going to have a similar situation because of the situation that Harvest Baptist Church is in. Because of what we saw last week, I want us to see that Jonathan did similar thing. God, if you're in this, remember what I said last week? Moses said, God, I'm not going one more step without knowing for sure that you are in this. If you're in this, then do this. So Jonathan, in verse 1, it says, now it came to pass, and this upon a day, that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said unto the young man that bare his armor, come, and let us go over to the Philistine garrison that is on the other side. But he told not his father. So he didn't have much faith in the faith of his father, but he did have faith in God. And so he's going to go over. It says there in verse 2 that Saul tarried. That means he's hiding. He's scared. Because the Philistines have gathered this enormous army together, and they're going to get even for one little battle that Jonathan was in. Jonathan says, I don't care. I'm not scared of you because I know who my God is. What do you think drove a young boy to pick up 5 stones? Because he heard the story of Jonathan. Somebody told him there was a man who said, I don't care what's over there. I still believe in God. God's man seeking God's guidance, and then he follows it. Not only that, but he expected to have success. Praying for an answer. And you know what? We say we believe in God, then why don't we live like we mean it? Why don't we live just today like we mean it? Here we go. Jonathan and his armor bearer are going to go over and check out the Philistine garrison. Verse 4, between the passages by which Jonathan sought to go over into the Philistine garrison, it says there was a sharp rock on one side and a sharp rock on the other side. Now, does that not sound like where the Lord sends you sometimes? Lord says go down there, but Lord, do you realize there's a little sharp barb on this side and there's a little sharpness on this side? I might come out the other end a little scraped up. You see what he's going to? It's not a big, wide, open area. He's fixing to go through. It says sharp rocks. Sometimes where the Lord sends us, we say, man, Lord, how could you have been in there? Look how scratched up I am. Well, come on, give God the glory. Because look what happens in the end. It says in verse 6, and this is really our text verse, and Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, come, let us, not let me, let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us. He said God just might do this for us. Now, thinking about the armor bearer, he's going, you know what I'm looking at? Are we looking at the same picture here? And that's not what he said. The armor bearer does not say that. Jonathan says, listen, young man, he's teaching the young man something. And I'm just daydreaming, but wouldn't it be awesome to find out that the armor bearer was David? I mean, we may get to heaven and find some of these neat stories out, but he says, young man, listen to me. Come on, let us go over there. He says that maybe God's in this. And if God is in this, look what he says. Come, let us go over into the garrison. And he said, it may be that God will work for us. And here is the key to our whole message. For there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. See, we look at how many empty pews there are. Just a few of us in here. So what? If you're Jonathan, you say, so what? I know who's I'm on the winning side. I know who my Lord is. He says, listen, God's not restrained because there's 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 of us in here. You think God's restrained by that? Do you really think that God is restrained by 9 people? No. There's only 2 of these guys. And watch what they're fixing to do. What could God do with 9 who are in God's will? God's man leads others into great victories, and some physical, some spiritual. Listen, you may have been through a battle. You may have been through the sharp rocks in the past. You may have come out on the other side, scraped up, and watched God bless. And there may be somebody in your life right now, a young man, a young woman, that needs to hear the story how God still is good. And God is still on the throne. And how God still saves. And how you ended up coming out of the other side going, well, how did I do that? I didn't. He did. I mean, there needs to be somebody who still hears if God be for us, who can be against us? We need to still be able to tell people that. Now, for time's sake, don't turn there, but in Psalms chapter 26, talking to believers, the believer is saying to God, prove me. Now, that's a dangerous place to be because he might just prove you. And you know what? I don't say that in a dangerous way, as a bad way. God may take you through a trial to show you just how strong of a Christian you are, or vice versa. But either way, God may drag you through a trial like Job and say, look how good I am at the end. Look how good I am to those who are faithful. Job lost 10 children in one day. He lost all of his riches, all of his herds, all of his money, and had a wife that said, curse God and die. We know that's what the Bible says. But we know also, last chapter, it says Job ended up 10 times what he started with. God really did bless him. You know what? He said, I will not curse God. I will not. I know who I have believed, and he is able. Yeah. So I'm going to tell you, in chapter 13, if you want to just flip the page back, I want you to show you what the garrison that these two men are looking at. After Jonathan had defeated this small garrison earlier, the Philistines get upset. Look at verse 5. And the Philistines gathered themselves together to fight with Israel. 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen and people as the sand which is on the seashore and the multitude. And they came up and pitched in Michmash eastward from Bethaven. That ain't a little army. That 30,000 chariots, that's like tanks. 6,000 cavalrymen. Sand is the sea, is the people, the army standing out there. Now this is the army that Saul is looking at with 600 men behind him, hiding under the trees. And the rest of Israel has ran off to hide in the caves and the dens and the forest. They're hiding from this army. 600 chose to stay with the king, but they're hiding. But one says, come on, come. Let us go prove God. Let us prove God. Malachi says it. He says, prove God. Prove him. Test him. See if he's real. If he really can be in this. If he's really in Harvest Baptist Church, we can see God bless. We can see our grandchildren saved. And our great-grandchildren saved. And our you name it. Say, well, does that matter? Boy, in eternity it does. He said, come and let us prove in verse 6 of chapter 14. He said, he's telling the armor bearer, let us go prove God to know what his word is. Let's at least check it out. Let's at least open the book and see, does it really say that? Yes, it does. And let's see if God really promises. And let's see if God really fulfills. And the answer is yes, and yes, and yes. Saul had an army of 600 versus 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen, people at the sand of the sea. And the people, the verse given that account, said that the men that were with, the 600 that were with Saul were trembling. Knees, I mean, really, you're looking out over this monstrous army, looking around you with 600 guys, my knees would be trembling too. You know why their knees are trembling? Because their leader's knees are trembling. Saul was trembling. God's man, anointed king of Israel, was trembling. And therefore, everyone that followed him was trembling because it's too big for God. It's too big. God, look out there. That's too much.
one guy, in fear of God and knowing, trusting God, not in fear of the enemy, said, come on, let us go through God. It doesn't say that armor bearer's knees were shaking, does it?
Watch what it says in verse 7. And his armor bearer said unto him, do all that is in thine heart. Turn thee. Behold, I am with thee according to thy heart. Well, that doesn't sound like that armor bearer's knees are shaking, does it? Those 600 with Saul. Now listen, Saul is head and shoulders taller than every man in Israel. It's a pretty big guy. I mean, I'm thinking 6'5", 6'6", 6'7". He's a big guy, head and shoulders taller than any man in Israel. He's the biggest man in Israel. He's the guy you and I would have picked to be the king of Israel, not who God did. But here we have the 600 with him shaking in their boots, and one guy with his son going, let's do it. But I mean, he didn't have a death wish. He wasn't high on drugs. He says, when God's man fears God, believes God, and leads in God's, according to God's word, God's people tend to follow without fear and shaking. And that's what we need to be seeking in Harvest Baptist Church, is godly leadership that's not shaking in their boots, but strong, that believes in God, believes God can do anything. But he's not, look what he said, that there is no restraint to the Lord to save by a few or many. That's all we need, is a man of God that says that. God's not limited by, what was he limited by last week? Me. I said, let's have one couple come in. One couple walks in. Shame on me. Look, Saul in chapter 17 he's cornered up against the Philistine host again. And because one man in the army is a big guy. The biggest guy in Israel is the king, and he's shaking in his boots because there's this Goliath. One man stopped the whole army from moving forward until a young boy came up and says, is there not a cause? Do we not have a purpose here besides shaking in our boots? Do we not, and Clayton, New Mexico, or Dalhart, Texas, or wherever you're living, do you not have a cause? Logan, New Mexico. I mean, is there not a cause? I'm asking you. Is there not a cause? David said, there is. And I know because I've heard stories of great godly men before me. And one of them is in that camp. That's sitting back there with Saul. Now, that's a whole nother message, but Saul was sitting back with his dad. I mean, Jonathan was sitting back with his dad when David killed Goliath. Maybe the man of God got tired. I've been there. Tired, discouraged. Was sitting back. Somebody remembered what his testimony was in the past. I have to think that 10 years has gone by. But some of those little bus kids, some of those family kids, church kids that sat up here and sang songs, they learned some things in Sunday school. They learned some things in preaching. And I have to wonder, can they look and they look at us, men and women of God who maybe taken a step back, got tired, discouraged, whatever, sat back and said, Lord, somebody else's turn. One of those may humiliate us one day and step up to the pulpit and let it rip, point David did. Because of a testimony they saw 10, 15 years ago, whatever. I'm just saying that our testimony matters. So a man or a woman with little resources can do a whole lot more than a Christian in the flesh. We don't need some billionaire to walk in here and say, I'm going to start tithing the Harvest Baptist Church. That's not what we need. Here we see very little resources and a great victory is going to be brought. Verse 7, you missed lunch. The armor bearer says, I'm with thee. We need men and women of God to follow godly leadership. Instead, many times, we'll follow family, we'll follow friends, we'll follow politicians or cult leaders or TV evangelists or whatever the case may be, instead of following godly leadership. And listen, I understand when there's a vacancy that there's a problem. That's what this church is. This is where this church is at right now. Is it's in a dilemma and need of godly leadership. You know it, and I know it. Jonathan and his armor bearer changed the course of that day's battle. Let's read on and see what happened. It says in verse 8. Jonathan's going to lay out a fleece like Gideon. He said, then said Jonathan, behold, we will pass over unto these men. We will discover ourselves unto them, or we'll show ourselves. We're not hiding. And he says, if they say unto us, tarry until we come to you, then we will stand still in our place. And we will not go up unto these men, unto them. But if they say to us, come up unto us, then we will go up. For the Lord hath delivered them into our hand, and this shall be a sign unto us. He said, listen, that's pretty simple. If they say, wait there, I'll come get you, we'll wait here. If they say, come up unto us, we know that God has already given us the victory. And if God's given you the victory, and God's given direction, then there's no turning back, there's no stopping, there's no him hawing around. He said, go do it. If this is the case, this is what we're going to do. Look what happened. And both of them discovered themselves, in verse 11, unto the garrison of the Philistines. And the Philistines said, behold, the Hebrews cometh forth out of the holes from where they have hid themselves. And I'm telling you, this morning, there's somebody saying that about you. Harvest Baptist Church, I thought they were closed. Look at here, 9 people come out of the holes. Come out of the caves. What are they coming out to do? I mean, I'm telling you, the Philistines are making fun. This, what is that? And he said, verse 12, and the men of the garrison gathered, answered, and Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, come unto us, and we will show you a thing. Really? that was a little disappointing when the battle was over. Come on up here, you two. We're fixing to show you something. Wow, who got showed what? And Jonathan said unto his armor bearer, come up after me and the Lord. For it's already done. Done, sealed, delivered. He said, for the Lord hath, past tense, it's already done, delivered them into the hand of Israel. And Jonathan climbed up on his hands and upon his feet, and the armor bearer after him. And they fell before Jonathan and his armor bearer and slew after them. So the armor bearer is killing people too. And that first slaughter with Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about 20 men within as a half an acre of land. Now we say, well, okay, 2 guys killed 20. That is pretty amazing. Especially when you're talking about soldiers. But it didn't end there. You see, there's something. Remember, there's guys with Saul shaking and trembling. There's guys hiding in the forest and in the caves and the dens. We're going to see another group of guys in here. They're Israelites, but they're in the army of the Philistines. Look what happens. All because of one man, second man, one man followed another man. And they were looking and saying, who are those? And it says there in verse 15, and there was a trembling in the host. Remember how big it is? In the field after, and all among all the people in the garrison, the spoilers, they also trembled, and the earth quaked. So it was a very great trembling. See, when you go to war, go to battle with the Lord in the God's will, you're not by yourself. It wasn't 2 guys making the earth shake. It was God in heaven. It wasn't an army. It was God in heaven. And the watchmen of Saul in Gibeah of Benjamin looked, and behold, the multitude melted away. And they were beating down one another. So you've got that in your mind. Here's Saul's army, a little shaking, 600 guys. And they look down on the 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen, people sand of the sea. And they're shaking. And not only are they shaking, it says they begin to fall on one another. God's ways are not our ways, guys, ladies. They've fallen on one another. They're killing each other. How can we defeat such an army? maybe sit back and watch. Took one man to get up and do something. He wasn't sitting on his backside. He got up. What did he have? Jonathan had a couple of things. Jonathan had a vision of victory. The Bible says where there is no vision, the people perish. It's talking about the man of God, the preacher. If you have a preacher with no vision, the people perish. It has to be a vision. I don't mean some psychedelic dream. I'm talking about what would God, how is God leading us? And it almost inevitably starts with God's man. God's man and God's word and moves God's people. Now, his vision, Jonathan, he could see a defeated army. Well, there were still just two of them. There were only two of them, and he already saw God hath delivered them. See, with this small group of people, if we really trust God like we say we do, and we trust God like and fear God like Jonathan did, we could see a victory already done. It could already be done, and we don't even know it. But he could see a defeated army while there were still just a little bit. He said there's no restraint for God to defeat him by just a few. He had a vision. He had a plan. He had a vision of victory, but he had a plan. It wasn't just, hey, you know what? I'm going to throw up my shingle out on the front door and say Harvest Baptist Church, and people are just going to pour in. That's what a lot of lazy preachers do these days. That's not how it works. That's not what Jonathan did. Jonathan didn't just say, hey, Lord, I'll show up, and then just sit there. He got up and did something. See, he had a vision of victory, but he had a plan. I mean, whether it's soul winning or getting out and handing out tracts or just having a gospel testimony or inviting somebody to church, I'm not asking even for you to knock doors, which is not a bad thing. But if everyone in this room just invited your friends and family that you come in contact with, I'm not saying you don't even go out of your way, just the people that God brings right in front of your face, so it's so obvious, if we would just invite them to church this week, I'm challenging you. If you want God's church to survive, you've got to get up and do something. There's got to be a plan. So the plan this week, invite somebody. The ones that God puts right in front of your face, invite them to church. Invite them to church, but don't invite them to church. Well, you know, we're in a church down there. I guess, you know, might not be. You might get a free meal out of it. Come on. You got to say, man, God is so good. God's going to do something great. We're going to hear the word of God preach next week. Brother DeCurtis is going to be here. Amen. He's going to preach for us in the morning service. I haven't seen him in, 12 or 13 years. I'm excited to see the brother still serving God in the Philippines. He's going to be with us for one service only. So make sure you're here. Be excited about that. I remember Hesper telling me one time, she said, when I grew up Baptist, never met a missionary. Isn't that something? How many people do you think you know like that in this town? Oh, yeah, we support missionaries. Really, name one. When was the last time you talked to one? When was the last time you prayed with one, prayed for one, or participated in missions? Listen, get excited about it. Invite them to church next week. If you got to have an excuse, tell them we got a missionary from the Philippines. You don't have to have an excuse other than God's good. Next thing he had was had faith in God, that God was going to provide the victory. It was already done. He had faith in God. The Bible says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. You invite somebody to church this week without having faith that God could actually bring them to church is sin. That's simple. He had faith in God, and then he moved forward in faith in God. That fleece of Gideon, he got confirmation that it was God's will. God, if you do this, then, if then, that's out. And he moved forward. Few or many. Gideon had 32,000. God dwindled it down to 10. Said, no, that's too many. Dwindled down to 300. No. Okay, 300. And I'm going to give you a lamp and a pitcher. Not a bazooka. God's ways are not our ways, folks. God's not limited by what our weapon system is. Because our weapon system is right here. It's not what I got right here. Or what I got in my wallet. So not only did he move forward in faith, but he attacked in faith. With or without help, he said that God's already delivered him. I'm going with you or without you, armor bearer. I'm going without my father. I'm going without the army. And when God gives us guidance, we ought to attack without hesitation. God gave him a plan. And hesitation at the point when they got between the sharp rocks where it gets a little prickly, you know. Get to that point and say, well, I know you said go forward, but, you know, it's kind of prickly up here and I'm kind of getting a little bruised and scratched up. To turn around right there would have been sin. But he says, I'll go. A moment of hesitation. Now, what's encouraging about this is, let's say, well, we're just a few. Others caught his vision of victory. They not only caught his vision, but they got enthusiastic about it. Hallelujah, amen. And they won the day. Keep on reading. Let's look down. Let's look at verse 20. And Saul and all the people, so they're going into the battle. Saul and all the people that were with him assembled themselves, and they came into the battle, and behold, every man's sword was against his fellows, and there was a great discomfiture. Maybe, I don't know whether I said that right. I mean, this is a mess. 600 guys head into the battle, and these guys are killing themselves. Let's just stand here and watch. But they got busy. Not verse 21 says, moreover, it says, because of this, and in addition to this, moreover, the Hebrews that were with the Philistines before that time. Whoa, you mean there were Christians in the world's camp fighting against God's people? That's exactly what that's a picture of. A born again, saved individual fighting in the army of the world against God's people. But because of what they saw in Jonathan, they turned. It says, moreover, the Hebrews that were with the Philistines before that time, which went up with them into the camp from the country round about, even they also turned to be with the Israelites that were with Saul and Jonathan. Likewise, all the men of Israel, which had hid themselves in Mount Ephraim, when they heard that the Philistines fled, even they also followed hard after them in battle. So the Lord saved Israel that day, and the battle passed over unto Beth Haven. Man, that's not a little thing that took place because of two faithful men. You see, it could be a few getting a vision. And again, God giving you guidance from his word, keeping his promise. And we go forward, whether it gets harder or not, and we continue in God's will, and we do God's will, regardless of whatever thing else. We have to have a vision for this church for the lost to be won for Christ. If we're not going to be faithful, then who is? If we're not going to get excited about it, who is? I'm not a member here. You are. Christ, I always go back to that. I mean, that's a good message. I ain't got time to preach it this morning. But, you know, when Jesus is walking on the water, Peter looks out there and they're scared and their knees are shaking. Like, this is not something you normally see on a rough sea. Man walking. And it's Jesus. And you know what the Bible said? The Bible said he would have walked past. Now, these guys are fighting to stay alive in the boat. It said, had they not called on Jesus, it says cry. Had they not cried unto Jesus, he would have walked right on by. What do you think the end result would have been in that boat? Because Jesus could have raised that 12 more disciples. He had been with guys. They cried unto the Lord, and the Lord came to them. But when I read that passage, it said, he would have walked past them. I mean, that is scary.
You can say, "Well, I'm saved, and I love the Lord, and I read my Bible, and I pray." But Christ could walk right on past your house. You're going to go to heaven, but what, I mean, those 12 guys were saved. Well, 11 of them were. But what would have happened to them if Christ had walked by? They'd die. But he did walk by because they cried out.
I think that many of us get discouraged in the storms of life, and we forget that some of the greatest victories are won by the few faithful, and we need God. We need God involved in Harvest Baptist Church. We need God involved in all of these things. And we don't need him to walk on by. Jesus said, "I am with you all the way, even unto the end of the world." Instead of following him who gave all, many men around us, we see him. We are related to some of them. We have friends and family who are doing it. They're following something other than the Christ who died for them. Allah, Buddha, money, jobs. Listen, all those things can vanish away if we're not in God's will. God can take it away as easily as he giveth. The Bible says the Lord, that's what Job said. He said, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." He said, it doesn't matter, it's just stuff. I don't have a God that I can invoke because I bobble his head on my dashboard. I don't have a God that I can turn the remote on and off with. I have a God in heaven who's with me always, even unto the end of the world. I have a God who says, "I'm not restrained by few or many. If you want to get on board, hey, look." God says, I'll take you. If you're the armor bearer and God's saying, "Hey, you need to get up and get busy. Follow a man of God and do something. Invite somebody." God says, "I'll take you. And I'll use you in a great way." And those, I think of those backslidden and those scared. We all been there. I'm not no greater than anybody else. I've been way out of God's will. I know those that have been way out of God's will. I know I've been scared to do God's will. And I know you have too. But we saw somebody be faithful, get up and do what God called them to do. And you see the crowd gathering behind him. It went from two guys to 600 guys, to the guys in the caves, to the guys in the woods, to the guys that are so backslidden they're in the world's army. I mean, the army got enormous behind one guy, two guys. You see where it starts? Not restrained by few or many. So how? It sure wasn't the backslidden and the traitors. They were traitors. They were in the wrong army. They were not brought back into the army of God by compromise. They saw the power of God on a man and came back to Israel. We need to think, can you get that thought in your head? How did the backslidden come back? They did not get it because you changed to be like everybody else. They got it because a man of God continued and the straight and narrow path, and saw the power of God by that, and they came back. They regained hope. And I tell you what, we have a lot of friends and family, a lot of neighbors that needs to have some hope. Now they see in the world that looks pitiful, and they see no hope. Man, I tell you what, if you have nothing else as a Christian, you got hope. Hope and a blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Amen. Now, I'm going to stop here. So I forgot my watch, so I'll just keep preaching. Anyway, God uses the repentant Christian immediately. You know, a lot of people say, "Well, you know, that guy, no, we're going to put him over here. We'll watch him for a while." Who are you? Who are you to put somebody on a shelf? Because my Bible says that when those who were Hebrews that were in the Philistines' camp, got right with God, they turned around and fought the Philistines immediately. They weren't put on a shelf. If you're on a shelf, God didn't put you there. I felt like God's put me on a shelf sometimes over the last 10 years, physically. And Lord, I don't understand. Some of it's been self-imposed. But they were restored to Israel in the middle of the battle. And I'm telling you, if you're gotten away from God, God says, listen, get back in the battle. Right now, as the battle is still swarming around us, get in the battle. Get in the right army. Get your heart right. Follow God's man into battle. And then there's just a couple of places you could be this morning. You are either on God's side, following God's word and God's man. You're on God's side, and you have no faith. And you're accomplishing nothing, like Saul. Or you're in rebellion to God and serving the wrong side. Or last and the saddest is you don't belong to God at all. And you're following every wind of doctrine. Remember, God does not use the big, flashy, big bank accounts, big numbers, big muscles, something big. Seldom will he use that. The majority of the time, the Lord uses the humble, the meek, the quiet spirit that has the faith of a mustard seed. Some of you remember, I used to carry that around my Bible, a mustard seed, just so you could see how itty-bitty that is. And God says, that's who I'll use. If that's you, God will use you. If you're out of the battle, God will use you. That faith of a mustard seed. He says, there is no restraint to the Lord to save by few or by many. Maybe you just need to open your eyes and see, wow, there's a battle raging. Maybe I'm on the right side, maybe I'm not. There is a battle raging. Regardless of where you're at in your Christian walk today, there's a battle raging around you, and God needs you on his side. Let's stand to our feet with our hands. I'm going to tell you this morning that if you're expecting God to do something great in Clayton, New Mexico without you, he probably will. He will do it without you. But wouldn't it be great to be and use you to do it? Do something great for the Lord today. Let's pray. Well, I'm praying. If you need to come, you come and pray. Maybe you need to tell the Lord, Lord, I'm out of the battle. I need back in. Lord, forgive me. Lord, we love you this morning. Regardless of where we're at in our walk with you, close or far. Lord, we've been maybe out of the battle for a while. Maybe we've been on the wrong side for a while. And Lord, I know these folks, and I love them. And I know that they're hurting because they have a lack of a pastor. And they have lack of leadership for a long time. I know that. You know that, Lord. I'm asking you, I'm begging you, Lord, that your will would be shown mighty and great in this case. And that we would see this small group do something great for the Lord, great for you. But Lord, when hearts get right with you, great things happen. And Lord, we're not pointing fingers at a man, but we know that a church needs leadership. We know that it needs strong leadership. It needs a shepherd. God, we're praying this morning. We're begging you that show your will. Show yourself mighty. Show yourself true. And your word is always true. I thank you for answering my prayers this morning. I've already had my prayers answered this morning. And Lord, I pray that we have more. We need to see more. We need to see the possibilities of what's around us, in front of us. Lord, I pray that you'd be with our families, our young ones, our grandchildren. They're watching. They're watching to see if a man will step out, a woman will step out in faith. They remember. They remember when Granddad used to. They remember when Grandma used to, Mom and Dad used to. They remember. God, I pray that you bring those back into the camp. and into the battle. Lord, we thank you for being so mighty and true. Forgive us. We pray as a church, Lord, that you'd forgive me of my sins. And forgive this church, Lord, of where they have failed you. And we have. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to go forward in faith. Give a life that you possibly could bless. And then, Lord, that we would see great and mighty battles won for you. Lord, I just thank you for everyone that's here this morning. And as we close, I pray that you would bless the meal we're about to partake of, bless the next message. Be with those who were not able to make it today, Lord, there are some that maybe are sick or afflicted. Maybe some in the wrong camp or just sitting on the sidelines that need love and prayer. We pray that you be with us today, that you would bring them back to church and that we would see a great victory. Again, thank you for the food, and I pray that you would bless it the rest of our day. In Christ's name, I pray, Lord. Amen. All right.